Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Isaac, the cool one.
What? This is our podcast.
Yeah. Welcome to our podcast.
I don't know. It's brought to you by Les Schwab, though.
Yeah.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Driven by Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
On 1080 The Fan. The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
I would not say that. I wouldn't say it either.
Okay. What's your point?
I'll stick anything in there. Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. You're swallowing something that's uncomfortable to swallow.
Wow.
Goodness gracious.
This is hard. It's all just hard. I should get paid for this. Dumbass.
Baseball stat. I know we're not supposed to, but I'm fascinated by how Justin Verlander is all of a sudden good again. And not just good, like dominant again.
Yeah. It's like untouchable in the second half of the season.
Yeah, because he sucked for the better part of a couple of seasons. He wasn't very good.
Yeah, everyone kind of thought that the arm was just gone and that his, you know, time was over.
He has thrown 40 pitches tonight. 34 of them have been for strikes.
Yeah, and he's touching high 90s, 97, 98.
And he's painting the corners.
Yeah, he looks good, man.
How old is he?
I just looked that up the other day, and I don't remember.
34, I think, 35?
Lots of guys get better at 34, right?
He is 34.
Oh, yeah, it's no big deal. Lots of people get better.
Yeah, it's like, is it not suspicious at all, or do we not care about that anymore?
I think we're over that. Plus, there's two main reasons why he's pitching so well.
Kate Upton's left and right boob.
There you go. Certainly would make me more focused and throw harder.
Yeah, me too. Right.
Wouldn't that do something for your
game?
You
think she gives him incentives for how he does in the game, what he's going to have happen when he gets home?
Mm. Well, think about it. Like, you are...
I want to believe she does.
You had a Herculean effort today putting out 25 push-ups.
Thank you.
Imagine if, there was some motivation to go up and down a few more times. Do you think you're not getting 35? You can get 10 more for Kate Upton.
Oh, boy, I don't know. I think I had reached my physical limit.
Again, this is what you think until all of a sudden Kate Upton appears, and then, you know, you're Justin Verlander all of a sudden. I think she's good for at least an extra 7 push-ups. At least.
Don't they have... Do they have, like, a sex tape out or, like, nude?
Yeah, they got the nudes.
They have nudes out there?
Not that I saw, because I would never look at those. But if
she has nudes out there?
But if I did look at them...
Well, they both have nudes out there.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that. Yeah. Verlander's weens all over the internet, and he doesn't even care.
Oh, why would he?
Yeah, a lot of people do, though.
Well, look, I'm not saying that I've ever looked, because that's disgusting, but if I did look, bravo. Bravo.
Wait, are you talking about Kate or Justin?
Kate Upton.
Oh. I thought you were talking about...
No, I'll bravo him because he's with her.
His ween.
Ow. Again, not that I would know because I wouldn't look. Unlike you, which is Googling right now.
I am. You better believe I am. I can't find him.
They might have gotten taken down.
Yeah, I hate that.
There's lawsuits and all that. And, you know, that whole invasion of privacy thing. Not being a total skeeve.
Oh, nope, got him.
I'm a little disappointed that it's taking you this long to find these.
I think I've seen these, now that you mention it.
I would say so. I mean, this was like...
Yeah, that was a while ago. It's yesterday's news.
Yeah. We moved on. I think Tiger and Lindsey Vonn were the last ones. Right?
Yeah, those got taken down.
Miley Cyrus. Yeah, you can tell the people that care because they're the ones that like go, like they throw a big old lawsuit and then other people are like, ah, yeah, you got me.
Boy, that Kate Upton. Hey,
well, if the Houston Astros go on and win the World Series or play in the World Series, I think you've got her to thank because Justin Verlander is filthy right now. The Yankees have like two hits?
They have three hits, yeah.
Three hits. Yeah, he is filthy. Painting corners and dropping curves.
So she.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, she is.
Okay, yes, the Chinese space station Tiangong 1 is falling towards Earth in an uncontrolled descent, and it will hit our planet sometime within the next few months. And no, not even the best and brightest minds in science can really get any more specific than that.
You don't have an idea of at least where, like a rough idea?
They have not yet.
Well, the Earth's like, what, 70% water, right?
That's right.
So you got, you know.
Yeah, it'll most likely hit.
Yeah, chances are it's going to splash into an ocean.
Yes.
But what if you're like out there, like you're on a cruise ship or whatever, or maybe you're out there in your little dinghy. You're out there sailing around, and next thing you know, God darn space station. How big is this thing?
Well, they're telling us not to worry about it. They're saying, but no. You should not worry about any of this.
I'm not taking your don't worry about this. How big is it? This is a
just hold on
space station.
Yes, full on space station.
That seems pretty big.
So late last week, The Guardian published a story in which a Harvard astronomer, Jonathan McDowell, predicted that Tiangong 1 would deorbit in either late 2017 or early 2018, a prediction consistent with Chinese officials' statements on the subject.
I'm looking at the headline that says, don't freak out.
Because they're saying, don't freak out.
Don't tell me what to do.
So back in 2016, China said they had lost control of the space station and it would eventually deorbit and break apart and, you know.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Yes.
Does everything up there that's just floating around, does that all eventually come down?
I don't think so.
It all just stays up there just floating around?
Yeah.
I believe so. There's no gravity up there.
Well, what happened to this? There is gravity. There's less gravity, but there is gravity. Oh, that's how it orbits.
True.
I picture a bunch of stuff just kind of floating around.
Well, that's my question. So why is this one falling?
It's a pretty big space.
They said they lost control of it, but...
Maybe because it's so heavy.
Did it get close enough to the atmosphere where then it just gets sucked back in?
I just want to know, like, eventually, are we going to have, like, a floating trash heap up there? We're just, like, raining down upon us?
It says the only tricky bit is that we don't know exactly when or where the station will deorbit, and we likely won't know until a few hours before it starts burning up in a fiery ball of hell.
Oh, boy. I don't think that's what it said.
Oh.
I think you might have added the fiery ball of hell.
Oh, and yeah, some larger pieces, like a few hundred pounds of metal, might survive the fall back to our planet.
It says that this thing has about 130 metric tons behind it.
Mm-hmm. It's big.
That's pretty big.
Well, it's eight tons.
It says it has a mass of about 130 metric tons.
See, told you.
So just saying, it's only a couple hundred pounds of metalish, fiery hell.
Well, you know, like it's gonna break.
What if that hits your house?
It's gonna break apart. Well, that's what they're saying. It's like, you know, it could. It's gonna be lots of space debris. You're gonna get murdered by space debris. I bet you didn't have that in the pool.
No, I did not. How this show is gonna end? Like, what if we're just sitting here, and like Mike gets crushed? I mean, if we get crushed, the show's over. But if Mike gets crushed, do we soldier on? We're like, wow. Well, that happened.
He's replaceable. So Tiangong 1, they're pointing out that it's an 8-ton spacecraft, and it's much smaller than other spacecraft that have already fallen out of the sky in the past several decades. Because apparently this is like a Tuesday for science.
So this does happen. So this is kind of my question.
I don't think it's all of them, though. I don't know.
But stuff falls out. This is not
uncommon. I don't know. I think sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
So I guess that they had one of these before. They had a thing called the Skylab, and it made an uncontrolled descent back to Earth. And it said 200. It was 200,000 pounds, but it fell apart in the Australian outback.
Oh, cool.
So they said it didn't hit anyone because there's nothing in the outback. But can you imagine if that hit like Sydney? You had a 200,000 pound freaking thing falling from space. I don't buy this whole we shouldn't be concerned sort of thing. That's easy for you to say.
What do you think the odds are that it hits your house?
Well, the Earth is
astronomical.
The Earth is a pretty big place.
Yeah, I'd say.
Well, again, 70% of the Earth is water. So right there, I mean, it's not going to hit anyone.
It's just, there's no chance.
And then look at all the, like, the places like the Australian Outback or, like, Siberia or whatever. And, like, if it hits the Midwest, there's more stuff in the United States that doesn't have anybody. If you look at the swath of land that has people on it. So, yeah, I mean, chances are it's going to land somewhere where it's not going to hurt anyone. But what on the off chance it hits Dave's house? You don't know. What if you're that one guy out there living, like, in the middle of the Dakotas, and you're like, I'm completely safe from everything, and then damn space station falls on you?
Well, I can't believe they have stats on this, but they do, and they're saying that only one person has been hit by space debris in the 60 years since humans have been sending things up into space. One.
That person die?
No.
Really?
No. He lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and his name was Lottie Williams. And it was a segment of rocket slightly larger than a human palm, and it just tapped his shoulder, and fell to the ground.
Really?
Yeah.
He just was like, you brushed it off, like no big deal.
Yeah, they're saying researchers calculate the odds of anyone getting hit by space junk, 1 in 3,200.
Huh. 1 in 3,200.
And the odds of you getting hit by space junk, closer to 1 in a trillion.
Okay.
Right.
So we're not
like
gonna,
you specifically, yeah. But just hitting some human being is 1 in 3,200.
Now, I need to look this up, but I think
so. You're more likely to win the lottery.
I'm gonna play the lottery then. I feel like it's not that uncommon because you know they always do like the you're more likely to get struck by you know lightning whatever. I think like plane debris kills a couple people every year. Like, you know, like every now and then, like a plane or like the latrine stuff falls out of it, like the solid waste or like a wing falls off or a landing gear. I feel like that happens. I feel like I read about that from time to time. So maybe that's the one we should be concerned about.
Perhaps.
I'm going to look this up. Find out the odds of dying from plane debris.
I say we put a target on Dave's house.
Just cruising along, minding your own business. Next thing you know.
Somebody's got to take the fall.
Yeah.
Let's make it Dave's place.
Well, imagine, like, again, like, if he, like, would it be the tater tot thing? Like, that's the eulogy you have to give at your funeral? You're like, he had a 1 in trillion chance. It was just his time to go. Like, that hunted him down. Like, you died there. I'm sorry. Someone upstairs doesn't like you. It's your time to go.
All right, we got to run. It is 6:16. Up next, the latest in Vegas. On the Fan.
Scott. On 1080, The Fan.
Can I get a hot tub?
And now for the latest in Vegas, the Mandalay Bay shooting. Did you get this? So that security guard, his name is Jesus Campos. Mm-hmm. He was the one shot through the door by the Mandalay Bay shooter.
It was originally believed that he was shot after the shooting had began, but now they're saying that he was shot before.
He'd been there before the guy opened fire on the concert.
So some people are asking what took so long to get police up there now if they knew this is where he was at.
And he lived, and so for a while, they couldn't find him.
No, he's kind of disappeared.
He's a 25-year-old dude, and so he turned up on the Ellen DeGeneres show.
I know. Of all the places you could make your first appearance, I'm assuming she paid him, right?
Well, the latest is that they're saying that the Mandalay Bay, or maybe it's the cops there. It's unclear. Somebody has been pressuring him into going on Ellen's show because they thought that a real journalist or like a Matt Lauer type,
tear him apart,
would have grilled him about the timeline.
Ooh.
That's what they're saying now.
Like, I'm not a big conspiracy theory when it comes to this sort of stuff, the whole 9/11 is inside job, but there are times where stuff like this, it makes me wonder, you know, like, I'm a simple guy, like 2 and 2 should equal 4. And when there's stuff that doesn't make sense in my head, I always wonder why, you know, that's an interesting theory. I hadn't heard that.
So,
and you know Ellen's not gonna do that. Ellen's gonna give him a minivan and, you know, all sorts of things like that.
So Campos said he was originally called to the 32nd floor to check on an open door. And then he found that a stairwell door had been blocked with a metal bar. And he says once he got there, he realized that he was hearing drilling sounds. And he thought it was just like workers.
Yeah.
You know, doing some repairs or something. In one of the investigators' timelines, officials said that the shooter shot at Campos through the door before firing from a broken-out window on a crowd at the concert. In the interview, Campos said he believes those drilling sounds might have been Paddock's opening gunfire and that the gunman fired at him through the door after Campos accidentally let a hallway door slam. So that's what he's saying. He said, as I was walking down the hallway towards his room, I heard rapid fire, and at first I took cover. I felt a burning sensation. I went to go lift my pant leg up, and I saw the blood. When Campos was shot, maintenance worker Steven Shuck told Ellen he was arriving in that hallway to check on the barred door. That's when Jesus leaned out and said, take cover, take cover. And this guy says, Campos saved his life, but if he didn't say that, he would have been shot too.
Yeah.
At about the same time, a female guest came out of a room and Campos shouted at her to get back and take cover. And that's what he said.
So
does all that add up to you?
I don't know. Like, I need to know more of the timeline. Like, how long? Because I, from my original understanding, like, it was only like 12 or 14 minutes
right.
from the time he started shooting to the time the police showed up at his door. And by that point, they said that he was already dead, that he the police, that he didn't shoot at police.
So here you go. So police have said Paddock fired his first shots at hotel security guard Jesus Campos and maintenance worker Steven Shuck at 9:59 p.m.
Yeah.
That would mean Paddock's attack on hotel staffers took place 6 minutes before he opened fire on music fans at the Harvest Festival. The implication of a 9:59 p.m. shooting would be that Mandalay Bay staffers waited 6 minutes to call the cops after the two men radioed in. But MGM, corporate owners of Mandalay Bay, they're now claiming the timeline put out by the cops is wrong. This is ugly.
See, and that's where
it's getting ugly.
It's confusing.
And this is who. So I was confused about who thought Campos should go on Ellen instead of Real News.
Yeah,
it's MGM. MGM wanted him on Ellen, not the
Real
News.
News source.
So MGM said Thursday that the hotel employees were actually shot only about 40 seconds before Paddock turned his guns on the festival at 10:05 p.m. and that they immediately radioed in what had happened at the hotel security, then immediately called the cops. So they claim that police got the mistaken 9:59 time from a Mandalay Bay report filled out in error by a clerical staffer.
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope it wouldn't take 6 minutes after you've got one guy shot, another guy shot at. And
that can't be hard to figure out.
I wouldn't think so.
With all the cameras
and all the cameras they have.
I mean,
right?
You should know the time.
I don't know, man. It's just
weird.
There are some things. Like I said, I try not to be a big conspiracy guy, but there have been some stuff as I've kind of read about this that kind of make you, you know, wonder about it.
The shooting timeline has changed several times.
Yeah.
So I just can't imagine it's that hard to figure it out. But what do I know?
Yeah. Now that I still haven't heard, like, originally they said that there were probably other people involved. You've even heard, is there a possible second shooter? And none of that stuff has really come out. And so I guess you just kind of wait and see what happens in the investigation. It's just that news happens so quickly now, and like the rush to get everything out, I think it naturally leads people to be skeptical about it. I try, like I said, for the most part, to take the officials at their word. It's just, you know, I get why people get skeptical at times because not everything always adds up.
Now, do you think the MGM would cover for a security guard? Like, you know what I mean? Like, why do they?
I don't know, man.
I mean, just come clean.
I don't. Why do people do the things that they do? I do know that in times of like crisis, people aren't always to be trusted. Things get over exaggerated. There's panic, the kind of the fog of war type stuff.
Well, and if you get shot through a door and you look down, you have blood on your.
Yeah.
It sounds like he didn't really know what was going on. He just heard the gunfire and then he sees that he shot. I mean, what's the first thing you do? He's the security guard. You radio down, right?
You would think.
So they're saying that he waited 6 minutes to radio down? No way.
No.
He radioed in.
Yeah.
They just had the timeline wrong.
just it's interesting. If that's the case and there's cops everywhere, why did it take that long for police then to get up to the door? Oh, it's just, I think there's questions that people have that are reasonable questions. And maybe there's reasonable answers for them, you know? You know, maybe it takes a long time to gather. I just think in Vegas, I just think there's so many cops like on premises and all that. I would think that if they shot this guy 6 minutes before he opened fire, and I get that it's up on the 32nd floor, but how long does it take to get police in an elevator and up to someone's door?
Right.
You just, you wonder. I'm not trying to call into question the police in this by any stretch of the imagination. It just,
it's weird.
It'd be nice when this is all said and done to actually have a real definitive timeline of this is exactly what happened.
All right.
And if you're one of the victims' families, I think those are the people you feel really bad for because, you know, they're the ones that want answers. I mean, I want answers.
Well, for sure.
It's a curiosity thing. But if you lost someone in this, I think that's where, you know.
Well, can you hold it against the MGM? And again, this is Vegas where you have a camera on every freaking piece of tile in that whole place, right?
Yeah.
Can you hold it against them that they didn't see him bringing, whether it be 5 trips or 10 trips or 20 trips, 40 guns up to his room?
Yeah, I don't know.
Can you hold that again? I mean,
I don't know.
Because to me, that's like, dude, open your eyes. You like, aren't there people sitting at desks simply watching security cameras?
Yeah. I don't know. Again, I don't know what that looked like. You know,
I mean, does he just have a giant, like, for lack of a better term, like catcher's bag that he was able to fill with all the guns in one trip?
I mean, that's heavy. That's heavy.
I know, but you roll
those bags, so you can just roll
them. Did you take a golf bag? I mean, up. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I'd like to see an actual investigation.
But then you see, okay, but then can you? Is it too much to ask that you see him do it 25 times, and you're like, wait a minute? I don't know. It's a hard one.
I think everyone wants to know whether or not it could have been prevented or it could have been minimized. And I think those are fair questions to ask. And I think, by the way, it's fair that MGM and the police eventually have to be responsible to answer those questions. And if you don't like the answers, then I'm glad there are people out there that are willing to press the issue. And because I think people deserve the truth, especially the victims.
Yeah, MGM's probably shaking in their boots.
Well, I think there's an element of that, too. And that's the part that always scares me.
Because they got a lot of dough.
I never put past covering your ass as an excuse for why someone does stupid things. And I know that sounds so crappy, but I think a lot of times when stuff really gets bad, I think people in higher positions, their first thought is, how do I cover my ass?
And the shooter was a high roller.
Yeah.
They knew him. So maybe they, you know, when you see a guy that you know and you know he frequents your place, you don't look as close.
Not as much scrutiny.
All right. We'll wrap it up. When we return, not college football, high school football is coming up better. High school football is coming up in 15 minutes. Do you know who's playing tonight?
I don't.
I don't either.
But Clackamas, Oregon City.
What?
Clackamas, Oregon City.
Boom.
Go Clackamas?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Clackamas,
yep.
Go.
Yep.
They're a much higher rated team.
Oh, yeah. Them. There they go.
Here's Mike.
Double sun power!
All right, well, that's about going to do it for us. We're leaving you with a couple of sports notes. The Trailblazers looked really good against the Pacers, at least of what I saw of them.
Yeah.
And they won going away. The Astros and Yankees are scoreless in the bottom of the fifth, but Houston now has two on with one out.
And Verlander, by the way, looks untouchable.
And we have high school football coming up on The Fan. Clackamas and Oregon City.
My Clackamas Cougars?
Cavaliers.
Cavaliers.
Who's Oregon City's mascot?
Pioneers?
It's a matchup of ears.
Go Cavs.
Hey, did you see one other thing?
We've been talking
about hurricanes and wildfires and Trump and, you know, lots of stuff going on, you know?
Yeah, there is.
So this got buried. We had the largest oil spill since BP.
Yeah, I did see this. And yet it was like a little tiny blurb.
Well, like it wasn't a little tiny blurb. It was compared to BP.
Well, no, I'm just saying like when I saw this,
in the news.
It was like buried down.
Yes.
Like,
It's like, you know, what are we going
to
do?
Like, you know, I don't know if like I go to MSN.com and you just kind of scroll through.
Yeah.
And it was like the eighth like rotating banner.
Yeah, it's the biggest oil spill since 2010.
Yeah, and collectively everyone went, We got other things.
We got other things to worry about here.
I was busy looking at the fake Navy SEAL. Apparently, this dude went on a Fox News segment earlier this month, and they did a whole thing. He carved some sort of big presidential seal, and he was on there loving Trump, and they were tweeting about him, and they did this big thing saying that he had 22 accommodations and 2 Purple Hearts. Yeah, it turned out he was never a Navy SEAL and was never in Vietnam.
Wait, so Fox News put a guy on...
Yes.
And painted him as a war veteran.
John Garofalo.
And he goes on there and says, oh, what is he? I mean, what's he doing on there? Like, just
he had some sort of big carving. He carved this big presidential seal and he wanted to like present it to Donald Trump. He's a big Trump guy.
Okay.
So he was on there and so they just were. It was basically a feel good piece that like, hey, here's this old grizzled war vet. He's 72 years old. They said he's a tough, tough man. 22 accommodations, 2 Purple Hearts, and he's a Trump guy and we love him. And so they, you know, it was a feel good. It was a fluff segment.
So then do you think that Fox News put him on there knowing that he wasn't decorated or they got fooled by this guy who they thought was a decorated war veteran who isn't?
I think they got fooled. I don't think you put someone on there that you know is full of crap. But apparently they were informed of it, and then 10 days later they admitted that he was full of crap. Took him 10 days to...
So nobody vetted the guy?
No. I'm guessing someone got fired over this one. And he has said that he feels bad. He goes, I didn't mean anything by it. It just got bigger and bigger. What I did, I'm ashamed of. I didn't mean to cause so much disgrace to the SEALs.
What did he do? Besides, I mean, it's not his fault. Well, I guess it kind of is.
It is his fault.
He's lying.
When you go on and say that you have 2 Purple Hearts, you were in the Navy SEALs, and you were in Vietnam.
I know, but what's the... I hate to say this, but who cares? Like, what is his... Why is he a story? Because of the thing that he made? That's why they put him on there?
Well, I think they put him on there because it was a veteran that loved Trump, and they wanted a... It was a feel-good piece. It was a fluff piece. Like, look, there's a decorated war veteran, and he loves the Donald.
But how did they find him?
That I don't know.
Did he say, hey, I love Trump and I'm a war veteran. You should put me on.
I think, yeah, it's probably one of those. Like, hey, I carved
this. And they're like,
okay. Yeah, sure. Why not? I guess he did technically serve in the Navy for like 3 years. And he was a aviation boatswain's mate. So he overseed various ground functions involving aircraft.
Yeah.
He was not a Navy SEAL.
All right. Well, we got to go. Astros lead the Yankees 1-0. Runners second and third, one out, bottom of the fifth. That game's over on AM 910? Yes.
Mike's crying.
It's on AM 910.
It's okay, Mike.
High school football is next. We are back Monday, 3-7, here on 1080 The Fan. Have a great weekend. Good night.
Red Ships of Spain. Red Ships of Spain.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.